2023 TKO MMA show. Here we are. My name's Hussein, your host, as always, my co-host, Jordan Patrick James.
We back, baby, in a year of amazing fights. This has been a fantastic year, and I'm excited to do this show with you, Hoos. How about you, brother?
I'm excited, too, man. There's a lot of, I think this year is a good one for the end-of-year awards. There's a lot of categories where there's a lot of contention, which makes for a great episode. So thank you so much for joining us. And let's get into it, because we got a lot to talk about. All right, here we are. We're going to start off end of year awards. First off, 2023 was a great year for MMA. You guys know, great year for the TKO fan base. We did a lot of success. We had some mess ups, but we had a lot of success in there too. Don't forget about it, all right? So we're going to go through the list. We're going to start off with the more traditional categories and then work our way towards some of the lesser represented categories. So starting off where it all begins is best fight of the year. This year had a lot of good category or good nominations for this award. And it was kind of tough to come to a conclusion, but you know, we ended up both going with the same one. First, let's go through our nominations. We got Pantoja Moreno from UFC 290, banger fight, flyweight title fight. Pantoja got it done. Back and forth. There was maybe a round or two where it was just, you know, straight grappling domination, but the striking exchanges were insane. The scrambles were insane. It was a great fight all around. We got Volkanovski versus Makhachev 1, pound for pound number 1 versus pound for pound number 2, and they went to a razor close decision. Super exciting fight there. I believe it was in Australia, if I'm not mistaken, so it was a very pumped up crowd to see Volkanovski and Makhachev get after it. Then we have Neil versus Shavkat, which was a three-round banger that ended in a late finish where we saw Shavkat Rakhmonov, one of the biggest prospects of the year, get tested by a veteran and Jeff Neal. Awesome fight, great finish. And then we have Fazia versus Gaethje, which was fireworks from the jump. You know, every year that you talk about the best fights of the year, you have to throw in a Justin Gaethje fight if he's fighting, because it's just, you know, electric every time. That's what we've come to know from the guy, and that's what he delivered there against Rafael Fazia. Me and Jordan, we were contentious on a couple of these nominations, a couple of these categories, but this one was a relatively easy one to come to a conclusion on, and we both went with Volkanovski versus Makhachev 1. Boom. Tell him a little bit about it, Jordan.
Well, I mean, I just don't see how you can't, you know, pick that as the fight of the year, because that's one of those fights that's going to stand the test of time. It was just a complete masterclass in so many different categories of what an MMA fight should be. A number one versus number two should be. And we're so blessed to have them so close in weight class, so close in their prime that they could leave it all out there. It was one that could go down to, like, you know, it could have gone either way.
Yeah.
My biggest thing that I'm sure a lot of the detractors that may pick another fight, I think a lot of people will, side with us on this pick, but some of the detractors, I think maybe their argument it would be like the second fight might have lessened the prestige of the first one because of the way that it had gone down. Maybe if Volt 2 is on Volt 2 had not happened this year, that would be clear in a way like the fight of the decade for me, at least. I can't remember a better fight in the last 5-10 years.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with you there. I think the skill level that both guys showed, both on the feet and on the ground, was unlike anything we've ever seen. It's very rare that you see the pound for pound number one and the pound for pound number two fight against each other in any sport, in boxing and kickboxing and Muay Thai and MMA. So we were blessed to see that fight go down. It was very competitive. Like you said, it could have went either way. And I think that counts for a lot when you see a lot of high tech, like a high technical level where it's also a close fight, where it's also really exciting. And there's big moments on both sides, like that knockdown in the fifth round that Volkanovski got, like that, couple knockdowns that Islam got early in the fight, the back control where, you know, Volkanovski's punching behind himself. There's just some really iconic moments in that fight. And I think it's going to be one that we study for years to come. So, pretty easy pick there for fight of the year. Some of the other categories had a little bit more of an argument to them, but I think this one was a clear-cut decision. All right, let's go down further. Next one is best women's fight of the year. This was another one that was really easy, and I mean, kind of hard to pick a couple of options. So let's go through it. First off, we have Aldana versus Rosa from the most recent card from UFC 296. Absolute slugfest war. One of the best fights I've ever seen, man or woman, especially this year. And then we have Grasso versus Shevchenko 2, which was a back and forth fight that ended up in a draw, a contentious draw. But, you know, regardless of the decision, it was one of the better technical fights that we've ever seen in the women's division. So we had to give that one a shout out. And then another one that I threw in there for the giggles was Manon Fiorot versus Rose Namajunas, which was another back and forth fight where we saw a former champion go up the weight class and get tested in ways she hadn't been tested before against a bigger striker and Manon Fiorot. I think this one's an obvious one too, and we both agreed on it very easily. Kara Hossa versus Irene Aldana gets our award for best women's fight of 2023. This fight was insane. The leg kicks from Hossa early, knocking Aldana's leg out of the way. The punches coming back from Aldana in the second and third round, she was able to really mount some great offense and pick up that decision victory in a fight where she was tested to the limits, and both girls really put on an incredible show that night.
I would have loved to see that be a five rounder, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I think I think Aldana was getting the better of it, but you never know. Her leg could have fallen off at any moment there towards the end of the fight. So just give me one second. I got to open the door real quick. Put a little pause on the award show for the cat. All right, so two categories up, two categories down. We're going to keep going down here. We have a couple of options for best card of the year. We have best pay-per-view, and then we have best fight night. The pay-per-view, we're going to start off first. We have three nominations. The first one, UFC 295, which was Aspinall versus Pavlovich, Pereira versus Prohaska at Madison Square Garden towards the end of the year in November. And then we have UFC 290, which is a bit earlier in the year, which featured Volkanovski versus Rodriguez and Pantoja versus Moreno. And then we have UFC 291, which was another banger card. Let me pull this one up real quick. I should have had this information readily available. UFC 291. So that one was Poirier versus Gaethje 2. That was the one in Salt Lake City that saw Derek Lewis get that big knockout, Kevin Holland get that finish, Gabriel Bonfim. There was a lot of great fights on that card. This is one that we were split on. I think there was a lot of great options this year. Jordan, you want to go with your pick first?
I had to give it to 295 because I don't see how you can't give it to a card where on the main card everybody was finished within the second round. It was just, an electric, from the second the prelims were over, it's like, all right, we're getting down to business. And the prelims weren't anything to scoff at either. They had a lot of electric fights there. It just got dwarfed by that, main event where everybody was just going out for the kill. Like I said, for me, that it was clear for that one.
Yeah, I think that was a solid pick, there was a lot of dramatic moments that night. Personally, one of my favorite knockouts that I've ever seen in Aspinall versus Pavlovich in a fight that was like super tense. So I think that's a great shout. I am going to go a different route though. I'm going to go with UFC 290, Volkanovski versus Holloway. I do think that there's a lot of merit to the finish rate that was going on at UFC 295, but for me, the prelims kind of took away from the card overall. If you're just looking at the top five fights, I think it's hard to argue against 295, but my argument is that for UFC 290, not only did we get a lot of great finishes, but we also got some really, really good fights. So that card had Volkanovski versus Rodriguez at the top. It was a back and forth war, ended up in a finish as well, where Volkanovski came back to form after losing to Makhachev in early part of the year. You had Pantoja versus Moreno, which was, if Makhachev versus Volkanovski didn't happen, that was my pick of the year, or my pick for fight of the year for sure. Definitely my number two. It was an awesome fight, back and forth war, flyweight, high pace, where, we got a new champion out of it too. You got Dricus du Plessis versus Robert Whittaker, which was a huge upset, which I think counts for something for sure. Dan Hooker versus Jalen Turner, another great fight, another option for a fight of the year with a crazy comeback in there. Bo Nickel was on that card too, which was great to see. He had a very quick knockout. Robbie Lawler's retirement on the prelims. I mean, we can keep going. You know, Tatsuro Taira had a great performance. Alonzo Menafield had a great performance. Denise Gomez had a quick knockout. Cameron Simon had a quick knockout. Jesus Santos Aguilar had a quick knockout. So this card had a little bit of everything. It had wars. It had technical performances. It had quick finishes. It had awesome knockouts, awesome submissions. So that's for me, that's got to be my pick for pay-per-view of the year. Let's go down next category. We have Fight Night of the Year. Only a couple of options for this one because there was a lot of good ones, but I think these two stood out more than anything. We have Luque versus Dos Anjos, which was earlier in the year, and then Dariush versus Tsarukyan, which was a bit later. For me personally, I had to go with Dariush versus Tsarukyan on this one. It was at Austin, which has always produced great fight cards. The Austin crowd is insane, and this go-around was no different. Not only were there a lot of great finishes on this card, but again, there was great performances, great storylines, and some really good fights in there too. So you had Armon versus Benil at the top of the card with the quick knockout. You had Jalen Turner versus Bobby Green, which, you know, besides the late stoppage, was another spectacular knockout. Sean Brady came back to form fighting Kelvin Gastelum, dominated that fight. Davison Figueiredo came to the bantamweight division and had a great performance against Rob Font. You had Clay Guida putting on a blood and guts war with Joaquin Silva on the prelims. This is really where this card shines, is because there was so many finishes on that prelim card. It was all finishes, and this was the first card where we saw two slam knockouts, and it was back-to-back. So I think it was really hard to recreate that electricity, you know? It's hard to pick against that card for me because of the two slam knockouts and, you know, just all the finishes on that card that ended up being so awesome. Besides that, there was also those two big comebacks early in the card with Jared Gooden versus Wellington Turman and Rodolfo Bellotto versus Iho Pitoria, which was a crazy fight that had no right being that awesome. So for me, that's got to be the card of the fight night of the year. We saw a couple of women's MMA vets come back to form as well, and Veronica Hardy and Misha Tate, both of them had great performances and victories and fights that, you know, they're both relatively coming back to the sport. So that was another feel good part of that card. Jordan, did you pick this card too, or did you go with a different one?
No, I absolutely picked this card. And I feel like we only had two contenders because of this fight card as well. I think if this fight card did not happen, we would have about four or five, because this has been a spectacular year just off of free fight nights as well.
Yeah,
but with this card happening, you know, I was trying to figure out if it was just a recency bias, but as I kind of like go over it and review it in my head, it was just, this was like a very pay-per-view level fight card. I wouldn't have blinked twice to see this. You're in a bar. Yeah, I loved it.
100%. Yeah. So a couple of good picks there for fight night and pay-per-view. We're going to go down the list to another traditional category here. We're going to go Fighter of the Year and Female Fighter of the Year. So Fighter of the Year, I think this was, you know, we talked about earlier in the broadcast that, you know, some of these categories were really tough. There's a lot of great options, and it was hard to come down to a consensus or to just a pick on our own. This category was not one of those cases. This was probably the easiest one to pick this year. Fighter of the Year, we're going, both of us, Jordan and myself, are going to go with Sean Strickland. Strickland had a rough 2022, going 1-2 with a knockout loss against Pereira and a close decision loss to Cannonier, a fight that I thought he lost, but again, he had a very competitive performance there. To starting off the year with a domination over Nasruddin Imavov, getting that finish over Abus Magomedov in a main event, and finishing out the year with one of the biggest upsets we've ever seen against Adesanya, where he was able to beat Israel Adesanya pillar to post in his realm on the striking. Great year for Strickland, from going 1-2 to 3-0 and getting the belt at the end or towards the end of the year. You really can't argue for anybody else.
And just absolutely exploding on the fan base as well. Like, yeah, I know he's not a dude about money, but I bet you this last 6 months he's gotten richer than he ever thought he would. Yeah. So, you know, just from all sides, he is, I will get to the thing. I don't think it's a very, you know, I feel like this is probably a one-off year for him, but, you know, I think he's made the most of it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a category that, you know, the one-off year is really like an exceptional thing, you know, like typically Fighter of the Year, you know, you want it to be like in that, and all these awards really, it should be like in a vacuum, you know. This year was monumental for Sean Strickland to go from, you know, on the verge of like being
probably getting cut.
Yeah, if not getting cut, just being disregarded for a title shot after that performance against Pereira, to, you know, getting the title himself in a dominant performance. You really can't argue against the guy. And like you said, his popularity exploded as well. Just all the moments on the mic and crazy interviews and stuff, you know, fighting with Duplessis in the crowd at the last pay-per-view. There's a lot of good and bad and weird for Sean Strickland this year, but he's definitely been the forefront of MMA and deserves this award more than anybody else. The other nominations, if anybody's interested, were Brendan Allen for going 3-0 with three finishes, Jurkis Duplessis for putting himself in there for a title shot against Robert Whittaker, and Benoit Saint-Denis for getting three knockouts as well. Going down to Female Fighter of the Year. So another one that had very little contention to it, but the nominations were Alexa Grasso, who won the belt against Valentina earlier this year and then defended it or retained it in a draw against Valentina towards the end of the year. You have Erin Blanchfield, who had great performances against Jessica Andrade and Tyler Santos, two of the division's boogie women. And then you have Ariane Lipsky, who had a phenomenal year with two great finishes and one great fight after a year where she got knocked out and took some time off. So three great candidates for Female Fighter of the Year. But again, me and Jordan came to a consensus pretty easily on this one, and we went with the women's flyweight champion, Alexa Grasso. Besides getting that huge upset in the first fight against Shevchenko, in a fight where, you know, even ourselves didn't give Grasso much chance in, you know, she was able to grit it out on the feet. She won some rounds against Valentina and then get that finish in the fourth round with the rear naked choke in a very opportunistic position. So great job there. And then getting that draw in the rematch where, again, it was a blood and guts fight where they went back and forth, super technical fight. A lot of people thought that maybe Alexa Grasso lost, but either way, it was a very close fight where Grasso did enough to stick it out and get a huge fifth round in order to win or to retain the title in a draw. So I think that's a pretty easy pick there. Just for getting that upset over Valentina in such a crazy and dominant way, I think gives you a lot of merit to get that award.
Yeah, I do want to say that I think we will be talking about Erin Blanchfield next year as the not only the Female Fighter of the Year, but I think she'll be the overall, has a chance to be the overall Fighter of the Year for either men and women. I think she's coming on strong. And I'm very excited to see what she's going to do in this upcoming year.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think she has a great chance of taking the title from Grasso or anybody else who happens to be holding it when she gets there. But for now, this was Grasso's year for sure. And, you know, we have a couple of awards to give Blanchfield later down the line. So next we're going to do finishes of the year. We have submission of the year and knockout of the year. These ones were really tough. Probably the toughest categories for me to nail down this year. First off, we're going to start with knockout of the year. We have a few options here. We have Khalil Roundtree versus Anthony Smith, where Roundtree was able to get that stoppage and show some great restraint in the finish, which you know, put it up the ladder a little bit for me. We have Aspinall versus Pavlovich, which was a huge spot at the UFC 295 card, where, you know, I think the consensus going into the fight was if Pavlovich can put his hands on Aspinall, he might be able to knock him out. If Aspinall can get Pavlovich to the ground, he might be able to submit him. And instead, Aspinall knocked out Pavlovich in like 60 seconds, which was, you know, just absolutely electric. We have Emmett versus Mitchell, which was on the most recent fight card and produced one of the scariest KOs that we've ever seen, where Bryce Mitchell got flatlined from a huge overhand right from Josh Emmett. We have Adesanya versus Pereira, which happened earlier in the year. I think a lot of people might have forgot about this one. Pereira was doing very well against Adesanya, had him backed up to the fence, and Adesanya was able to land two huge punches and get the win over his boogeyman in that division, who he was 0-3 against before that. And then we have Gaethje versus Poirier, which was another one earlier in the year where Justin Gaethje landed a huge head kick that nobody really saw coming in Salt Lake City, where Leon Edwards got his head kick to go over Kamaru Usman. So there's a lot of cool parallels in that fight, and the actual finish was really insane and came out of nowhere. Jordan, who do you got for this category?
I have Josh Emmett knocking out Bryce Mitchell, mainly because I've never seen a knockout that has made me question existence itself and just myself and as a person and the things that I enjoy. And it was very surreal watching that. So that had to give it be that one. That one plays in replay over my mind quite a bit, uncomfortably too. So I got to give it that one. That one shook my soul.
Yeah, I mean, that was a huge knockout. Josh Emmett in the comeback spot got it done against Bryce Mitchell, who was a huge favorite for some reason. We picked Emmett on the pod, and it paid out clearly. He got that huge knockout over Bryce Mitchell in a spot where he really needed it.
But at what cost?
Yeah. I thought that was a great shout for knockout of the year for sure, but I'm going to go a little bit of a different route. I'm going with Adesanya versus Pereira. I think the storyline going into that fight, the post-fight interview, there was a lot of X factors that made that knockout really special. It is a little bit marred by the fact that, you know, both fighters went to do on what they did for the rest of the year, where Adesanya got dominated by Strickland and Pereira went and, you know, got the light heavyweight belt. So, you know, it was kind of like at a peak for Adesanya and at a downturn for Pereira, you know what I mean? Like, both of them kind of went in different directions after that. So it was kind of a moment that really can't be captured again. And I thought that was a really special knockout. And the post-fight interview and everything where Adesanya is talking about, you know, facing your fears, the performance that he put on in that fight where he faced his fears and, you know, took it to Pereira and was able to get that knockout, I think was an awesome tactical adjustment. And for me, deserves the knockout of the year. I'm usually not one to give a lot of awards to Adesanya, so I'm happy to shout him out in this category here. So let's move on to submission of the year. This is another one that had a lot of contentious picks on it. Nominations include Shavkat versus Neal for that third round standing rear naked choke in a back and forth war. Just a great capstone, maybe not the most technical submission on this list, but a great capstone to the year to the fight for Shavkat. We've got Jones versus Gon, which again, not a super technical one, but the storyline and the impact of the performance and the finish was one that you really can't ignore. You know, as much as we all hate John Jones, that was a great performance against one of the top contenders in heavyweight and got Jones the belt back. We have Grant versus a Sun Tzu, which again was another back and forth fight where Davy Grant was able to lock up a reverse triangle in the third round with like 30 seconds left. So, you know, high stakes, weird technical submission and, you know, an awesome finish over a vet in a fight that he was losing. So, you know, that definitely deserves a shout for sure. And then we have Grasso versus Shevchenko, which was the biggest upset of out of this category as far as the odds go, and you know, probably one of the more technical ones on this list. Grasso was able to slip out to the outside of Shevchenko's spinning kick, grab her back and get that face crank. You know, she went for the choke, but she couldn't get it under the chin, so she just squeezed and was able to get that finish over one of the most dominant champions that we've ever seen in the UFC, and for sure the most dominant champion that division's ever had. I think the only champion that division's ever had, actually, now I'm thinking about it. So all of them great shouts. Jordan, which one are you picking for submission of the year?
I'm definitely going with Grasso, Shevchenko, just because at the way that it came about and, you know, it ending such you know, a historic championship run, I think that puts it head and shoulders above the rest. The John Jones gone one was a consideration of mine, and this is, you know, putting around, because like I didn't you know see a submission coming in that fight at all, so to see it come that fast was very surprising. But I got to give it to Grasso on that one.
Yeah, this is one that I went back and forth a lot on. Ultimately, I am going to give it to Grasso over Shevchenko just because of the stakes of the fight. And I really did, you know, I thought that Grasso showed great technique in that fight overall. But to end it up by taking Valentina's back, where her spinning attacks are one of her biggest tools, and they've always been one of her biggest tools. So to counter, you know, one of her specialties in such a perfect way and get that finish and get that belt, it was a great moment. And for me, it's got to be submission of the year, but I think my runner-up has to be Davy Grant versus the Sun Tsao. That's another fight where it was a huge comeback. And as far as the techniques that were shown in these submissions, in these nominations go, I think this one was above the rest as far as the technique goes, because that reverse triangle is not something that you see every day. You know, we've seen a lot of rear naked chokes, we've seen a lot of front chokes, we've seen a lot of we've even seen a couple standing rear naked chokes in the Shafkop case. But you know, the stakes of the Grasso submission is what gives it to me, but the technique of the Grant submission made it a real consideration. Ultimately, I'm going Grasso, but I definitely think that one deserves the shout. All right, going down the card, or going down the rest of the categories, we have a couple other ones. We're going to start getting into some of the less traditional categories, and the first one that we're going to start off with is best round of the year. This was one that was hard to pin down, because there was a lot of great fights on this in this year, as we talked about earlier. But as far as the back and forth rounds go, there was only a couple that really jumped out to mind. The first one is Pantoja versus Moreno, round 3. It was a back and forth round where both of them landed huge punches on the feet. Pantoja able to get a takedown. Moreno was able to scramble out of it. And there was just a lot of great moments in that high level championship fight that we talked about earlier. And then you have Neil versus Shafkat, round 3. In a fight where, you know, Shafkat was being tested by a veteran, very similar to Khamzat versus Burns last year. Shafkat got Jeff Neal, and it was a very close fight. And in that third round, Jeff Neal was able to rock Shafkat really bad, and worse than we've ever seen him get rocked. Shafkat was able to come back and rock him, and then able to get the submission off of that rear naked choke at the end of the round. So not only was it a great back and forth round with awesome striking, but it also ended in a finish at the end of it. And that's what makes it my pick for round of the year. I'm going with Jeff Neal versus Shafkat, round 3. It was an awesome back and forth round and an awesome back and forth fight, and ended in a pretty spectacular finish there. So for me, that's going to have to be round of the year.
I'm not going to lie to you, I didn't even try, dude. There was so many good fights this year and so many good rounds that, like, I was not about to go down that rabbit hole. Like,
yeah, that's fair.
Man, even on so I was even thinking on, like, you know, not to derail from the conference, but there was, like, even on submissions, there were so many good submissions just on fight cards from guys that, like, I kind of know that I'd have to, like, go back. Like, there was one that snuck in a ninja choke,
yeah,
on a single leg that I'm like, man, that was actually probably one of my more favorite ones. But this was just a year full of great fights, great knockouts, great submissions, great rounds, just an all around great fight year.
Yeah, it's a tough year to give out these awards to, you know, and some of these categories, like you said,
we might be looking back in 2030 and saying that 2023 was the year of the decade for fight cards.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we'll see how it all shakes out. I think the sport's improving every day, so I'm sure things are going to get only crazier, you know. So
I am excited to talk about this category, though.
Yeah, this next one was a very awesome category where there was a lot of great performances that could have fallen into this list. We have comeback of the year. A few different nominations. We talked about them earlier. There was two on one card. Jared Gordon versus Wellington Turman was an awesome one, where Wellington Turman was, you know, beating Gordon pillar to post, knocking him down, you know, taking him down, and Gordon was able to get that knockout in the second round, which was spectacular. Or he knocked him down and then submitted him club and sub. And then you had Rodolfo Bellotto versus Iho Pitoria, where Pitoria looked very fast on the feet, was tagging up Bellotto, making him look like a fool, you know, was starting to get him tired even and rocked him. It looked like he was going to finish him, but Bellotto's head was made out of concrete and he was able to power through those shots, get a takedown in the second round when he was a little bit more exhausted, and finished Pitoria on the ground there. So great comeback there. David Grant, we just talked about, against Rafael Sunsau, where Sunsau was winning very comfortably, and Grant was able to rock him and then force him to shoot and get a reverse triangle on the ground, which was an awesome finish. And then last but not least was Edson Barboza versus Sadiq Youssef. Edson Barboza got absolutely smashed in the first round, 10-8 round for sure. You can make an argument for 10-7. insane round, and Barboza stayed in there and beat the shit out of Sadiq Youssef for the next four rounds. Won every round after that, even was able to land his signature wheel kick at one point and put Sadiq Youssef on Queer Street. So just an awesome comeback there from a veteran, and our consensus pick for comeback of the year. For me, it's an easy one. This was one of the most insane comebacks I've ever seen in any sport. And Barboza was able to get it done. Although he wasn't able to get a finish in this fight, like some of the other picks on this list, he was able to really dominate a fight where he looked like completely lost after the first round. So for me, that's an easy pick. What do you think, Jordan?
No, that's exactly what I picked, because I thought it was about to get stopped in the round. And then, like, after that, I could even remember talking to my girl. I'm like, it was over. Like, she thought it was over. Like, she don't know nothing about it. She's like, this looks like they should probably stop this. And I was like, no, but no, man, it was inspirational is what it was, that comeback. Man, that was a great fight. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, that's one to rewatch for sure. The body work from Barboza to break down Sadiq Youssef in the second, third, fourth, fifth round. Just amazing. That wheel kick that he lands, amazing. Just an awesome fight from Barboza. Great comeback, and a fight that, you know, a veteran like Barboza putting out at this stage of his career really gives you a lot of, like you said, it's an inspirational one. It gives you a lot of hope. And, you know, Sadiq will be back. He's got a lot. I'm sure he learned a lot from that fight. And I feel bad for the next guy.
Thing that you need to learn from it is, if you can finish Edson Barboza, finish Edson Barboza.
Yeah. Or, you know, at least don't blow your load that early, you know, because Barboza's a tough dog and he's going to stay in there. Couple other categories we got here. We got Breakout Fighter of the Year. For those of you that are not familiar with this category, this is really for somebody who you maybe not have heard of before the year and now seems to be a huge contender or a big name. So not necessarily a prospect of the year, but rather somebody who kind of came out of obscurity rather than complete unknownness. You know, maybe not a debut fighter, but somebody that had an awesome year. So let's go down the list for the category. We have Elvis Brenner, who got a couple of huge underdog performances this year against Guram Katatalatse and a couple other fighters. We have Diego Lopez, who lost earlier in the year to Movsar Evloev and then got 2 1-minute finishes against very tough customers in Gavin Tucker and most recently Pat Sabatini. And then you have Ian Garry, who, again, you know, people talked about him before this year, but now he's looking, you know, down the barrel at maybe one or two fights until his title shot. Had great performances against Neil Magny, against Daniel Rodriguez, Song Kadan. Just a great year for the guy. And, you know, although it ended on kind of a sour note with him having to pull out against Luque, overall a fantastic year for him. And then last but not least, you have Benoit Saint-Denis at lightweight, who had 3 huge knockouts. You know, last year he had a finish too, but this year he had 3, and he rose from somebody who we weren't really, you know, we've heard of him before. We've seen him have some good fights to now being one of the bigger names in the division and somebody that a lot of people think could be fighting for about this time next year. So for me, this one's an easy one. I'm going with Benoit Saint-Denis. He got 3 huge knockouts, or 3 huge finishes, rather. He submitted Ismael Bonfim, turned back that prospect in a huge underdog spot, which we picked on the pod. He also got that knockout over Matt Frivola. And then in the middle between those two, took out a very tough veteran in Thiago Moises, was able to outgut him and get that finish in the second round. So for me, it's got to be Benoit Saint-Denis for Breakout of the Fighter of the Year. What do you think, Jordan?
No, I agree. I think he's going to be fighting for a title next year. I don't think that he's going to be able to wrestle it away from Islam, but he's going to put himself in that solid top 5. I think he might be the new breed of perennial top 5 contenders. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think we're going to see this guy in the division for a long time. I don't know if he has enough to take it from Islam, but he has a great skill set to test him. He has great grappling. He has a great chin, great durability, great cardio, great boxing, big power on the feet, good kicks. So I think it would be a very interesting fight to see him fight Islam. But, you know, he does need a couple fights to get there, but I do think he'll pass those tests. You know, we'll see, though. Lightweight is a shark tank.
You don't even. He just needs to keep hot and stay healthy. You know, it's easy to slide into that spot. I don't think anybody's gonna want to take a short notice fight with Islam anymore. But a Benoit Saint Denis might jump on that opportunity.
Yeah, they're talking about doing him versus Beneil Dariush. So that fight would put him right there. Maybe if not get him a title shot, get him one fight away from a title shot. So I expect to see a huge year for Benoit Saint Denis next year. This year was a great setup for that. Next, we have most one-sided fight or biggest beatdown. There was a lot of category or a lot of nominations for this fight for this category this year. I want to keep in mind for the listener that this category is not necessarily for biggest finish or, you know, like somebody that got the dog shit beat out of them in like 2 minutes. A more better example of a one-sided fight in the way that we use this definition was when somebody gets beat for 5 rounds and you know, there's multiple points where it looks like they're going to get finished. There's no question at the end who won. You know, that kind of like pillar to post domination. So let's go down the list, because there was a few options for this one. We have Zhang Weili versus Amanda Lemos for the strawweight belt earlier in the year. Zhang Weili put in her best performance to date, in my opinion. She had the highest strike differential in any fight. In this fight, she landed something like 220 strikes to Lemos's like 17. And not only was she able to beat her soundly on the feet, she was able to beat her up on the ground too, racking up like 12 minutes of control time. So just an overall dominant performance on all aspects there. We have Amanda Nunes in her retirement fight against Irene Aldana. Amanda Nunes, a fighter that, you know, probably could have won this award several years in a row. She's had some really crazy dominating fights over the years, over, you know, Felicia Spencer, over Pena in the second fight, Raquel Pennington. You know, Nunes is known for putting in these kind of performances. So it's no surprise to see her on this list again, especially for her retirement fight. We've got Topuria versus Emmett in another fight where, you know, it looked like it was going to be very competitive, and one fighter just shot out over the other one in Ilya Topuria. I was able to pick up a couple of 10-8 rounds in that decision and victory as well. You have Cannonier versus Vettori, which was a great beatdown from Cannonier, where Marvin Vettori, you know, looked every bit of a punching bag towards the end of it, where, you know, Cannonier was able to just, you know, wax him from pillar to post, beat him up on the ground, beat him up on the feet. There was several moments where he looked like he was going to get the finish. You have Mackenzie Dern versus Angela Hill. Another super dominant performance where Mackenzie Dern came out looking angry and, you know, had a bit of a scare, and I think it was the first or second round, but then just absolutely dominated Angela Hill every step of the way moving forward from there. And Angela Hill looked like a different fighter after that fight physically. And then last but not least, Merab versus Jan. Merab Dvalish really was able to really overwhelm the former champion Piotr Jan and put him on that 3-fight loss skid that he's on right now, where, you know, it didn't even look like he had a chance in that fight at all. Merab was able to completely overwhelm the former champion with his takedown attempts, with his feints, with his punches, and, you know, rack up a lot of control time, rack up a lot of strike differential on his way to a lopsided decision victory. Which fight are you going with here, Jordan?
I am going with Dern versus Hill. I had Nunes versus Aldana and was seriously considering Weili versus Lemos, but just looking back on it, the amount of just absolute vicious punishment that Mackenzie Dern put on Angela Hill was very memorable to me. Like you said, she was angry, had that divorce in, and you could see that. You could tell that she was taking out something, you know, something other than professional, beating people up. You know, she was enjoying that a little bit, and it just came at Angela Hill's defense. That would probably be it for me. When it was just Angela Hill, Dern was just going to do it to anybody, I feel like, and Hill was just the bad draw for it.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great performance from Mackenzie Dern in a spot where she needed it, you know. And multiple 10-8 rounds in that fight, great grappling exchanges, great submission attempts, great punches on the feet. So I think that's a great shout. For me personally, I'm going to go with Zhang Weili versus Amanda Lemos. A fighter that I thought was going to give the champion a lot of problems in Amanda Lemos with her power, with her guillotines, with her front kicks. I thought she was going to be able to really threaten Zhang Weili, and Zhang Weili made her look like she had no business being in there with her. She was able to dominate her on the feet, land huge punches, land big kicks. She was able to slam her on the ground several times, big takedowns, high amplitude takedowns, and beat her up on the ground for extended periods of time in that fight. The big difference for me from this fight and the other ones on this list is that not only did she make her look like she had no business being in there with her, but Lemos was not able to rack up any offense at all. There was a couple other fights on this list where the losing fighter wasn't able to rack up any offense at all, like Irene Aldana versus Nunez, but at least Aldana was able to land some leg kicks. At least she was able to get her strikes up a bit. In Teporia's case, Emmett was a dog. He stayed in there and landed some big punches, even though they didn't have much effect on Teporia. Angela Hill won a round, probably. Marab versus Jan was probably my closest pick for it, because Marab was able to completely overwhelm a former champion there. But Jan was coming off a couple of losses, so I think that deterred from me picking him a little bit in that fight. Whereas Lemos was streaking and got completely turned down. In one of those fights where it makes you think like, oh, she's never going to get another title shot. As long as Whaley's the champion, we know that Lemos has absolutely nothing for her. So, you know, not only is it a dominant performance, but it's turning back a contender who has been, you know, at the top of the division or near the top of the division for a couple of years. And now it looks like she has no business being there. So it's got to be Whaley for me. And I'm excited to see what kind of performances she turns out in the next year, hopefully against Yan Xiaonan, a fight that we've been wanting to see for a while. Next, kind of similar to that category, is biggest blowout round or best 10-8 round, most dominant 10-8 round. There was a lot of options here that we could have put down, and we ended up with a few different ones. Starting off, we have Ian Garry versus Neil Magny in round 3. He was able to drop Magny several times with leg kicks. Looked like he was going to finish him at one point. Got some good top control in there as well. Dern versus Hill, round 3. Another one where the fighter got, you know, dropped and dominated on the ground. Teporia versus Emmett, round 4, which was a fight where, or a round where Teporia was winning the whole round comfortably and then dropped Emmett several times at the end of the round and looked like he was going to put him away, but Emmett's just a complete dog. You have Edson Barboza versus Sadiq Youssef, round 1, where Sadiq Youssef beat the shit out of Edson Barboza, like we talked about. It looked like there were several times that he could have stopped the fight, or that the refs could have stopped the fight. Thankfully, they didn't, because Barboza was able to put on one of the best comebacks we've ever seen, like we talked about earlier. But nonetheless, it was an absolutely dominant round from Sadiq Youssef. And we have round 2 of Vettori versus Cannoneer, where Vettori won the first round on some scorecards, or maybe not won the first round, but it was a very competitive round for Vettori. Second round, Cannoneer absolutely washed him, dropped him, which is the first time I've ever seen Marvin Vettori get dropped. Was able to put some good ground and pound on him. It looked like he was going to get the finish a couple points, and the strike differential was something crazy, like 90 to 15 or something like that. So a lot of great categories, or great nominations for this category. Jordan, which one did you end up on?
I had to go with Edson Barbo versus Sadiq Youssef. That just on us talking about it in the last, in the comeback of the year one, I remember how dominant that first round was. I just, like I said, I couldn't remember. I thought that it was seconds away from being finished. So that has to be it for me. Sadiq Youssef definitely put down a stellar round. It's just a shame he couldn't follow up on it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as far as best 10-8 round, there was a couple of these in this category that could have been determined as 10-7 rounds, and I wouldn't have been upset. This was definitely one of them, Barboza versus Youssef. It looked like Barboza was, you know, dead to rights. Like, Sadiq Youssef was knocking him around, getting huge knockdowns, and, you know, just beating the piss out of him the whole fight. For me, though, I am going to go with Vettori versus Cannoneer, round 2. I love seeing Cannoneer work, and if you give him somebody who's gonna, you know, be a good dance partner, you can see him put in some really amazing combinations and, you know, just dominant performances. And this fight was a great example of that. Vettori was a great dance partner for Cannoneer because he is so tough, almost to a fault, Cannonier was able to beat the piss out of him in that round, and the strike differential was crazy, the knockdowns were crazy, and to see it happening to somebody who we know to be so durable in Vettori made it that much sweeter for me. I also am not a big fan of Vettori, and I love Cannonier, so there's a little bit of bias in this one for me. But yeah, let's keep going down the list. We have Prospect of the Year. This was a very hard one to pick, honestly. There was a lot of great prospects that came out this year. For this category, you didn't necessarily need to make your debut this year, although that definitely helps. And I think finishes give more credit to a prospect. I think also a good thing to keep in mind is that we're thinking about, for this category, somebody who is relatively, you know, they have to be unranked and has potential to be a champion in this division, in their division at some point. So a lot of different nominations for this category this year. We have, first off, from the flyweight division, Tatsuro Taira, a fighter that we've been really high on this podcast ever since he made his debut. Young Japanese fighter, great grappling, and then put in a awesome knockout earlier or later in the year. You know, where a lot of people, ourselves included, thought that, you know, if this guy can take you down, he's a real problem. But if you can keep him on the feet, you might be able to have some success against him. That was not the case in his last performance. He was able to put his striking looked very improved, and he was able to get that guy out of there, knocking him out on the feet, which was something we hadn't seen from Taira before. We have Nazim Sadikov, who debuted this year and had two Fight of the Year candidates in Vyacheslav Borshev and Evan Elder. He went 2-0-1, so he had two victories and a draw. The draw was an amazing fight. He had a great victory over Terrence McKinney in a pretty back and forth fight there, and then a victory over Evan Elder, where he was able to cut the guy open and get the doctor stoppage in a fight that he was losing. So great performances there from Nazim Sadikov, and definitely deserves a shout. One to watch for sure at lightweight. We had Ikram Alaskarov, who made his middleweight debut this year, knocking out Phil Hawes earlier in the year, and then finishing, I think it was Warley Alves, towards the end of the year. Two very dominant performances against two very tough fighters, and he looks to be somebody who's a real problem at middleweight, his only loss in his career coming to Khamzat Chimaev, who we know to be a beast. We have Joe Pyfer, who made his debut this year and went 3-0, not only beating his opponents in MMA, but then beating them in grappling tournaments, which has just added zing. And then finishing out the year with that awesome performance over Abdul Razak Al-Hassan, who, again, was another very tough fighter. And then the blue chip prospect of the year, Bo Nickel, who has been on a radar for a long time. And although maybe he hasn't had the toughest run out of these other fighters, he's had very dominant performances. And for sure, out of everybody that we've talked about so far, seems to have the highest ceiling. You know, we say blue chip prospect because the guy has a very historically amazing wrestling career and has been talking about going to MMA for a few years now, and finally made that transition. And now we see him, you know, rising the ranks towards the top of the UFC middleweight division, a division that's essentially wide open. So we could see him fighting for a title very shortly. If not, when he gets there, I think he has great chances of winning that title. Who do you got in this category, Jordan?
Well, I'll put two, because if I really don't even like to count Bo Nickel as a prospect of the year, because, you know, if you've known about him from the wrestling community, you've known about him for a long, long time. You know, this isn't a very huge surprise that, you know, he's took to this so well, especially knowing a little bit more about him with growing up with the mom that teaches him boxing, you know, so. It just seems like he was bred for this, and it's just, you know, him waiting for him to decide, okay, it's time for me to go and wreck people's dreams. But I would say of prospect that no one's really heard of, I would say Joe Pyfer. I think that, you know, he made his name known. He got that Dana White shout out and Dana then followed up on it. That's the important thing. He followed up on it in dominant performances. So I think that he is one that the next couple cards that he's on, he's going to get a lot more attention. I think he's going to get a lot of focus. I wouldn't be surprised to then put him in a co-main event of a numbered UFC fight against somebody that he can absolutely decimate. I think that would be probably the next thing that we'd see from him.
Yeah. This was a tough category for me. I also am going with two picks. You have to give a shout out to Bo Nickel. But like you said, if you've been paying attention to the sport, you've heard of this guy's name for years now. And again, he didn't have the most tough strength of schedule. Not to his fault, you know.
Yeah, no one wants to fight that. Yeah, no one wants to fight that dude.
Yeah, and I mean, he was set up for a pretty good fight, but then the guy fell out last minute, and he had to fight Val Woodburn on short notice. He did exactly what he was supposed to do, finishing the guy in like 30 seconds. So you really can't fault him there. But I think somebody who had a much bigger year as far as name value goes and dominant performance is Ikram Alaskarov. The guy had two really great performances against two very tough fighters in Phil Haas and Warley Alvarez, guys that aren't easy to put away. He was able to finish both of them in under 3 minutes. So I think definitely deserves a shout for prospect of the year. And, you know, just looking at these nominations, three of them are in the middleweight division, Alaskarov, Pfeiffer, and Nickel. And I think all those guys have a great chance of winning the belt at some point. So I think middleweight just got a new injection of fresh blood that is very welcome. And I'm excited to see how that division turns out. But for me personally, I'm going to go with Ikram Alaskarov because I do feel like he has the highest ceiling. Maybe not compared to Bo Nickel, but I think he's going to get to the belt quicker than Bo Nickel, given his strength of schedule so far. All right, we have a couple more categories. We're going to do upset of the year. This one was relatively easy. We have Nicholas Dalby versus Gabriel Bonfim. We have Sean Strickland versus Israel Adesanya. Alexa Grasso versus Valentina Shevchenko 1. Elvis Brenner versus Goran Kitsatsalatse, which was a comeback and an upset. And then Bobby Green versus Grant Dawson, which is a complete, you know, dominant one-shot knockout and a huge upset spot. But both of us are going with the same answer here, and I think it's going to be at the top of everybody's lists. And the reason that we gave this guy Fighter of the Year, Sean Strickland getting it done versus Israel Adesanya, not only was this a big upset, but some of these other upsets were finishes where the guy got tired or finishes that happened super fast in Bobby Green's case, or, you know, one where it was just like a complete dogged performance and the guy or the fighter found an opportunistic position and got the finish, like Dalby or Grasso. The difference with this upset is that it was a complete domination in a fight that nobody gave him a chance in. We thought that if anything, Adesanya was going to be able to, you know, knock him out, have his way with Strickland, essentially play with his food. That was not the case. It was very much the opposite. Strickland was able to beat Adesanya pillar to post in his striking realm with the kicks, with the jabs, with the feints, and just completely overwhelmed the champion to a lopsided decision there. So that's an easy pick for me for upset of the year. Another couple of categories to go through. We got Resurgence of the Year, aka the Phoenix Award. This is given to somebody who had a rough 2022 and came back to have a phenomenal 2023. So, you know, again, we have to talk about him. Sean Strickland lost twice last year, getting knocked out and then losing a close decision to now going 3-0 and finishing the year with the belt. You have Ariane Lipsky, who got knocked out in 2022 against one of the worst fighters in the roster in Priscilla Cachoeira, and now has two finishes and a great fight in 2023. You have Chase Hooper, who also got knocked out last year and then put in a couple of great performances this year. And Brian Battle, who got beat really bad by Hanat Fakhretdinov last year and then came out this year, got a quick knockout, got an awesome submission, and then a great performance towards the end of the year as well. So all the nominations for this category have two or three fights this year that they won, coming off of a year where they had one or two losses. I hate to keep piling it on the guy, but we got to give it to Sean Strickland. I mean, you know, coming off of that very embarrassing knockout against Alex Pereira, a very tough fight against Jared Cannonier, and then coming in on short notice like 3 weeks later to beat Imavov, that was already a great story right there if he did nothing else this year. But then he went on to beat another guy that people touted in Abus, and then beat the shit out of the champion like we just talked about. So that's got to be the Phoenix of the Year. If you end the year with the belt after going 0-2 in the division the last year, I think that is a pretty shoehorned pick in for Phoenix Award.
Yeah. I mean, and not just that, like I said, you know, he solidified his brand for the next 5-10 years. You know, he doesn't need fighting anymore after this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, once a champion, always a champion. So I think it's a great pick for Phoenix of the Year for Sean Strickland, and a phenomenal year for the guy, as much as I hate him. next one is Worst IQ. So we're doing this. This is either, you know, a game plan decision where, you know, you're like, why did you do that? Why didn't you do something else? Or a decision in the middle of the fight where it was like a bad submission attempt, or, you know, going for broke when you shouldn't have. So a couple of different nominations for this. We have Chris Gutierrez's Imanari roll in a fight where he was down bad against Song Yadong. He went for a Imanari roll in the fifth round, completely baffling decision, in a fight where he looked like he was doing pretty good on the feet. He decided to go for a, submission attempt that ended him on the bottom position where he was getting smushed for the last three rounds. Really stupid move there. We have, Chito Marlon Vera versus Corey Sandhagen, where Chito just looked like, you know, every fight that you watch with Chito, you're waiting for him to get going. And this fight, we were waiting for him to get going for the whole fight. By the end of the fight, maybe the fourth or fifth round, he started to land some offense, and it was way too little too late. So that was just a baffling IQ decision from Marlon Vera. Why didn't you try earlier? You could say the same for Colby Covington versus Leon Edwards. Why didn't you try earlier? You stood there in front of the champion for three rounds instead of trying to get some offense off in a fight where you are known for weaponizing your pace, and you absolutely did not do that. So another nomination there for Colby Covington. And then last but not least, and our consensus pick, Cody Brundage, the entire year. We're going
to... Well, you know what? Let's give it to him. He figured it out, you know, and stopped going for guillotines and started slamming people.
He did get that slam knockout at the end of the year.
He saved it a little bit.
I'm not going to let it forget me. It's not going to make me forget about what happened. We saw Cody Brundage go for the most ill-advised guillotine attempts that I've ever seen in UFC history against Rodolfo Vieira, a world champion on the ground. He was beating him on the feet. Rodolfo goes for a sloppy shot, and Cody Brundage goes for a guillotine. Hello? What were you thinking, bro? Besides that, he also went for several guillotines against Cedric Dumas, a fighter who, again, he could have beat from the top position, but instead chose to give up position to get that guillotine, and it didn't work. So for me, it has to be Cody Brundage. All my homies hate him, and he is actually going to fight Bo Nickel coming up soon, which I'm very excited for. I can't wait to see that fight. I hope he goes for a guillotine on the world championship wrestler too. I think it's going to be a great a great matchup there.
Don't give away his game plan, dude.
Yeah. We got another couple of categories for worst of the year. We're doing worst fight of the year. This one was another easy one, but we have a couple of nominations. We have Amir Albazi versus Kai Kara France, which was a slow-paced flyweight fight that had all the makings of a banger. So it was really more like a come down than, you know, it was a bad fight, but it wasn't like a staring contest. That being said, it could have been a lot more exciting given the caliber of both fighters. So it was more of a letdown than anything. Bilal versus Burns, where Burns broke his arm in the first or second round, and Bilal just proceeded to point fight the rest of the fight. I understand you got to get your victory, but it doesn't make for a very exciting match. And then for sure, the number one and our consensus pick is Jailton Almeida versus Derek Lewis, also known as the most erotic fight of the year, where Jailton Almeida was able to take down Derek Lewis without any you know, issue, and then just got him out and stared lovingly into Derek Lewis's eyes for the rest of the fight.
It was the staring that did it for me.
Yeah, I mean, for sure he could have went for more ground and pound. For sure he could have went for more submissions. But instead, when he got to that position, he decided that he loved Derek Lewis more than anything in this world and just wanted to stare into the eyes of his long-lost lover. Derek Lewis could not do anything else but try to get up, and he couldn't because Jailton Almeida is really dominant on top and also loves Derek Lewis a lot, clearly, because he didn't want to try to finish him at all in that fight. So that's for sure the worst fight of the year, not only because it was such a slow pace and because there were so many opportunities to finish, but because we looked at the fight, everybody looked at the fight before and said, how could this fight go to decision? It was minus 10,000 for it to go to decision, and guess what? That's what happened.
It went to a decision.
It was insane.
They had to be in on it.
Honestly, I think I really do feel like Jailton Almeida put the money down for the over or for the fight to go to decision, because the odds were insane, and he made absolutely zero effort to get the finish in that fight. So easy candidate for worst fight of the year. You know, we could have been sitting here talking about Almeida as a prospect of the year because of his great performances. It could have been talking about him as a breakout fighter of the year because he had other great performances this year. But instead, we're talking about the worst fight of the year because he ended the year on such a shit note with that Derek Lewis fight. But let's not beat up a dead horse too long. Let's move on to worst card of the year. There's a couple of cards on here that had some fuckery going on that ended up, you know, getting us to that point. First one, we have Amir Albazi versus Kai Car France, like we talked about, a fight that we had high expectations for that didn't deliver. We had Andrade versus Blanchfield, which had a lot of fuckery going on in that card, a lot of decision victories, and then ended up with a pretty good main event, all things considered. And then we have Mauro Bueno Silva versus Holly Holm, which is my personal pick for worst card of the year. I'm going to tell you why I'm going to give it to this card, or I'm going to give this award to this card, is because not only did the prelims absolutely suck, there was, you know, decisions, bad decisions in the prelims. There was a couple fights that, you know, looked like robberies. We were begging for a finish, and then we got one by way of arm injury towards the end of the prelims. So everybody was like, damn, like another fight goes to decision. Damn, another fight goes to decision. Can't we get something to, you know, break here? And the thing that broke was Estela Nunes' arm, which was not fun to see. Then the main card starts, and there was a couple of good fights on that main card, I'm not going to lie. But it ended up with a baffling IQ decision from Jack Della Maddalena against Basil Hafez. And in the main event, a quick finish from Mara Bueno Silva that got overturned because she tested positive for Ritalin. So just overall, a very shitty card, you know, like the prelims being so shit really backed me up for this one. And then the main event getting overturned to a no contest when the girl was just taking a drug that she's prescribed was just the cherry on top of a shit Sunday, you know? So that's going to be worst card of the year for me. Or Jordan, did you have a pick on this one?
No, I agree. I definitely hearing you recap it. I remember how unpleasant that card was, but I remember I turned it off after that, after homegirl broke her arm, and I was like, I'm not gonna watch this.
Yeah, I don't blame you for that. It was a tough one. So there was a lot to forget about that card. Going down the list, we have a few more to get through. We have champion of the year. We're both going with the same one here, but let's go through the nominations. We have Leon Edwards for retaining the belt against Kamaru Usman and then beating the other guy in the division who's been there for a long time in Colby Covington. We have Zhang Weili for that one performance, that dominant performance against Amanda Lemos. And then we have Islam Makhachev for turning back the pound for pound number one two times in 1 year, getting a dominant, or maybe not dominant, but a very competitive and well fought out decision victory over Volkanovski early in the year. And then coming back to knock him out without any contention in the second fight towards the end of the year. So we are both going to go with Islam Makhachev. I think it's an easy pick. I'd love to see him fight a lightweight contender, but taking out the pound for pound number one twice in 1 year is a feat that we probably aren't going to see for a long time. So I have to give him the champion of the year. Next, we have most likely to win a title next year. There's a couple of people that we've talked about so far in this award show that have that opportunity next year. The three that really stand out are Shavkat Rakhmonov for welterweight. The thing that probably will keep him away from it is that he did injure himself in his last fight. We have Aaron Blanchfield at flyweight, who's getting a big main event against the number one contender, or the other number one contender in the division, Munaf Fiorot. They're going to fight in March. So if she wins that fight, there's a very likely chance that she fights for the belt next. And there's a very likely chance that she wins. And then we have Ilya Topuria at featherweight, who again had a very dominant year, you know, turning back Bryce Mitchell, turning back Josh Emmett, and is now scheduled to fight Volkanovski in February, which I think is going to be an awesome fight. Jordan, who do you have for most likely to win a title next year?
I think Aaron Blanchfield. I don't think Ilya Topuria is going to get past Volkanovski. I think Volkanovski is going to continue the great reign at featherweight. I could be wrong, but I do think that that's just too tough of a test for him. And I think Aaron Blanchfield will be holding gold by the end of the year. Although I would say, kind of going into our next one, I would say we'll get into the next one. But yeah, so of this list, I would say Aaron Blanchfield.
Yeah, I think that's a very good bet. My concern for Blanchfield and Rakhmonov is I don't know if they're going to get the opportunity to fight for the belt next year. I do think that they're doing Grasso versus Shevchenko 3, as much as I don't want to see it. And if Shevchenko wins that fight, they're probably going to do a fourth one. We might be in Brandon Moreno versus Davinson Figueiredo territory with the flyweight belt next year. Shavkat Rakhmonov, again, is injured, so I don't know if he's going to get the opportunity to fight for the belt.
I would say, as much as I don't like to say it, I think Jurkus Duplessis.
Yeah, I mean, Duplessis very likely to beat Sean Strickland in their fight. That's going to happen, I think, in January or February. But for me, it's going to be Ilya Topuria. I do think that Topuria is going to beat Volkanovski, and I think that even if he doesn't beat Volkanovski, I think Volkanovski is going to retire soon. He's getting up there in years, and if he beats Topuria and goes out like that, I think Topuria can beat somebody in the middle of the year and then fight for the title at the end of the year, and we sit here next year's awards talking about the new featherweight champion in Ilya Topuria, and I think it's going to be hard for anybody to take that belt from him. So we'll see what happens, but yeah, for me, it's got to be Topuria, then Blanchfield, then Rakhmonov, just from timeline and how I think the year is going to shake out. Next, we have most likely to lose a title next year. We have the new middleweight champion in Sean Strickland. We have the new bantamweight champion in Sean O'Malley. And then the new flyweight champion in Alexa Grasso. So not only are these fighters, you know, maybe not necessarily the worst in their division or something like that, or the weakest champions, but you have to also take into account the strength of the competitors that they're going to face next year, whether that be in somebody that they're already scheduled to face against or who we think that can get to the title by the end of next year. So for me personally, I'm going to go with Sean O'Malley. I think he's a great champion. I think he had a great performance against Aljamain Sterling, had a good fight against Piotr Jan, but bantamweight is just such a shark tank. And I think anybody between Cheeto, between Sandhagen, between Marab, has a great chance of dethroning Sean O'Malley, and he's going to have his work cut out for him next year. So I'm going to go with Sean O'Malley. Who do you got, Jordan?
I got Sean Strickland. I think that that the miracle run is over. I think next year you're going to see him not maybe completely fall off, but you know, I think he'll probably fall back down into that middle of the top 10 area. But he, you never know. He could put it on against DDP and put him out. But I would say that he's probably the most likely to lose the title.
Yeah, I mean, Jurkus has a great chance of beating him. You also have guys like Cannonier waiting in the wings and Adesanya for the rematch. So I think there's a lot of people that can challenge Strickland for the belt. So I think that's a great shout.
Hey, can you finish the rest by yourself? Because I got a good practice.
Yeah, no problem, man. There's only a couple more we'll get through. It's been a pleasure. Take it easy.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna keep recording. Just stop it whenever it's done.
All right, sounds good.
All right, homie.
All right, peace out. So a couple other categories we had to get through. We have most likely to, or we just did that one. We have best losing performance. So this was the best performance in a loss. Couple of options this one. We have Korean Zombie going out on a shield against Max Holloway in his retirement fight. We have Volkanovski versus Makhachev 1, which is a super close fight. We have Basil Hafez versus Jack Della Maddalena, where Hafez was a big underdog and was able to, you know, get very close to beating Maddalena in a dogfight. And then John McDessie versus Jamie Mullarkey, where McDessie put on an all-time great performance for his career, but Mullarkey was able to get the decision on home territory. For me personally, I'm going to go with Volkanovski versus Makhachev 1. It was a very close fight, pound for pound 1 versus pound for pound 2, and Volkanovski was able to win it in a lot of eyes of the fans. Jordan also picked this category. Or picked Makhachev versus Volkanovski. Volkanovski, again, had a great performance there, so I think it goes without saying that that should be the best losing performance this year. Next, we have Robbery of the Year, a.k.a. Where We Got Fucked. There's all of these fights. We picked the person that we thought won that ended up losing on the scorecards. So we have Cub Swanson versus Hakeem Dawodu. We have Amir Albazi versus Kai Kara France. We have Andre Muniz versus Jun Yong Park. And Jocelyn Edwards versus Lucy Pudilova. I'm going with Lucy Pudilova versus Jocelyn Edwards. This was an easy fight for me to call, an easy fight for me to predict. I thought Pudilova had too much for Edwards in the fight. It turned out that way, but the judges didn't see it that way, which was unfortunate. I think you do have to give a shout out to Albazi versus France and Park versus Muniz, because both of those fights, a lot of people felt like the damage was on one side, but the judges went the other way. We have best prediction of the year, which was the fight that we called correctly, that we called down to a T, or was a big upset that we got, you know, big props for. In that category, we have Alexander Hernandez versus Emin Shahbazyan. We said that Hernandez was going to be able to outstand Shahbazyan and finish him late in the fight, which is exactly what happened. We have Almeida versus Rozenstrike, where we said that Almeida was going to be able to take down Rozenstrike and do whatever he wanted with him, which is exactly what happened. We have Jack Shore versus Makhlon Amirkhani, where we said that Jack Shore was going to be able to get the finish in the second round after Amirkhani was not able to do anything in the first, which is exactly what happened. And then we have Nicholas Dalby versus Bonfim, which was a huge upset that we said that Dalby might be able to withstand Bonfim's early onslaught and be the veteran that he hasn't seen yet and finish him late in the fight, which is what happened. We are going to side, me and Jordan both went with Nicholas Dalby versus Bonfim, which was, a huge upset where Dalby put on an awesome veteran performance. If you guys haven't seen this one, I highly recommend it. It was a very hype finish and a great pick for the TKO fan base. If you guys follow that pick, there's a lot of money to be made. And last but not least, we're going with Dog of the Year. This is different than Upset of the Year. This is different than the best prediction. This is different than the best comeback. This was the most heart shown in a fight, or the most dog-like performance, in the sense that, it looked like they were beat and they came back, or, they got a finish in a fight that they had no business getting a finish in, something like that. So the predictions or the categories are Dalby versus Bonfim, which we just talked about, Brenner versus Kutatalatse, which was a huge upset where the guy strength the other guy and end up getting a finish. And then last but not least, Mike Breeden versus Anshul Jubilee, which is my personal nomination, because not only was it a great comeback, a great upset, but the dude was literally barking at the opponent. Mike Breeden was actually making dog noises in the octagon. So it's hard for me to not pick him for Dog of the Year, because that's exactly what the fuck he did. He came back crazy against Anshul Jubilee and broke the guy's will. One of the few examples where you can actually see somebody's spirit leave their body in the octagon. And Anshul Jubilee looked absolutely terrified. So that's for me. That's going to be Dog of the Year. Jordan picked Dalby versus Bonfim. Another great pick. That wraps up our TKO end of year awards. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate y'all. It's been a real pleasure breaking down these fights throughout the year and, having you to talk to. I really appreciate all the support, and next year is going to be a great year. There's a lot of great fights already lined up, and I think the sport is just heading in a great direction. So I'm really happy to be able to talk about these fights with you guys, and I'm really happy that I can talk to my boy Jordan about them too. And hopefully we have as great a year next year as we had this year, and we have some awesome fights to break down this year's time to do for the end of year awards in 2024. Thank you so much again for listening, y'all. I appreciate it. And if you guys have any contention about any of the awards, if you have any nominations that we forgot, please, leave them in the comments. Hit us up on Instagram at TKO MMA Podcast, on YouTube, the same handle. Thank you so much. And you guys have a great, happy new year. Take it easy. Appreciate you. Much love.